Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gains understanding, for her profit is better than silver and her gain surpasses gold. Proverbs 3, 13 and 14. I am Rob West. Making wise financial decisions early in life can set the stage for long-term stability and generosity. But where should students and young professionals begin? Today, Bob Dahl joins us to share some practical financial advice to help young adults start their career on the right foot. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always a pleasure to have my friend Bob Dahl with us. Bob is the CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, an underwriter of this program. He also sits on the board of directors of Kingdom Advisors, and he's a regular contributor here. Bob, great to have you.
Thanks for including me in this session.
Bob, you manage investments worth billions, so it seems like you might know a thing or two about making the right financial decisions, and that's what I want to talk about today, and specifically about students and young adults. So what decisions should students and young adults starting their careers make right now to get them on a solid financial footing?
Well, as like so many things in life, Rob, have a plan.
Yeah.
You aim at nothing, you're sure to achieve it, as they say. But creating and sticking to a budget for both income and expenses is the starting point. And as you know better than me, FaithFi has a really good app to make that happen.
Yes.
Once you get started on that, then you want to think about an emergency fund for the tough times in life. General suggestions are 3 to 6 months of expenses. And needless to say, Rob, I don't believe even I have to say it. Avoid debt.
Yes.
Credit card debt, especially with those high interest rates. When you pay off your credit card immediately, when you focus on paying down your student loans, you're going to be far better off.
Oh, that is so good. Yeah. Compounding is a very powerful force. It can work for you or against you. The against you happens when you have a lot of credit card debt for sure. So we want to certainly avoid that. Now, unfortunately, Bob, as you well know, not everyone follows that advice. So how can we learn from others' financial mistakes and then make wiser choices?
Again, like so many things in life, just observe what other people are doing, those that are having success in this area and those who are struggling. Most of us need a mentor for various pieces of life, and for a lot of people, that's a great way to get going on your finances. A financial advisor can give you the guidance that you really need to get the job done well here. Make sure that you keep aware of and constantly check yourself for the common pitfalls in this area of life, and that is overspending. You can get in trouble real fast there and get into a vicious spiral, or not saving. You know, don't just, you know, spend everything you have. You got to have a savings program. Listening to this program, reading good books on the subject. I come back to follow the people that are going to make a difference for you. People be very willing to help. And FaithFi has a great content in its app on this subject as well.
Yeah. Bob, let's get personal for a second. Any mistakes you made early on that you could share with our listeners?
Yeah, not paying attention to it all. We thankfully, my wife and I didn't have a conspicuous consumption problem as many did. We actually dishonored the Lord by putting too much money in barns. We saved a lot of money. Mm. I was busy on Wall Street. Leslie was busy raising our kids, and a lot of money accumulated that God had better uses for. We woke up to that and became more generous givers.
I love that. Bob, obviously starting early is key, and we're talking to students and young adults. I mean, the power of being able to put aside even a little bit consistently, especially when it's invested, it's a powerful force, isn't it?
It is, both that you're having the regular savings program for investment, but as you mentioned earlier, the beauty of compound interest. It can add up fast, and you know, what you think's a little bit can become a whole lot more as the years go by.
Yeah, and it's important to be consistent, what we call dollar cost averaging, and don't worry about the market. The secret is when the market's down, you buy more shares with the same amount of money, right?
That's the beauty of dollar cost averaging. It does work.
We're talking to Bob Dahl today, our good friend. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, an underwriter of this program, and a real leader in the area of faith-based investing. Today, some sage advice for young adults, those just getting started in their early careers. You're not going to want to miss what Bob has to share right around the corner. He's been there, done that. He'll have more for you. Following this interview, your questions today at 800-525-7000. We'll be back with more after this. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
In the Bible, and still today, sharing a meal with someone deepens relationship. But there was one meal that redefined relationship between God and humanity. The Jews had long celebrated Passover, but this one was unique. Jesus took wine and bread and presented his disciples with a new meal, one pointing to his sacrifice. Luke 22, it says, "And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So the next time you partake of the Lord's Supper, remember how he gave up his body and blood for you. Take the bread and the cup and remember the death of Jesus. You'll grow in your walk with daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Jesus spent his days teaching from God's Word, healing the sick, and loving the marginalized. So how does a perfect and sinless man end up beaten, mocked, and condemned to die a criminal's death? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress walks through the final hours leading up to the death of Jesus. Join us for the series, The Power of the Cross, this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
I'm so thankful you've joined us today for Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, frequent contributor and good friend Bob Dahl. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, an underwriter of this program. You can learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. Bob and his wife Leslie have mentored countless individuals in a whole host of areas, but certainly in the area of financial stewardship. And we're talking today about specifically young adults, those who are students or early in their career, getting started on a solid financial footing. And Bob, that's not only the financial literacy, the blocking and tackling, but also deepening your understanding of God's heart as it relates to money, because there is a lot in scripture on this topic, right?
Starting with the fact that it's not our money. Yeah. You know, one of the big pitfalls, people, well, this is my money. I can do with it what I want. No. Like everything in life, including our bodies, our brains, our time, it's all on loan to us from God, and we're to be good stewards, and that starts with our money.
Yeah, that's well said. Bob, you mentioned that one of the things we should do to deepen our understanding of biblical money management is not only to look for guidance and perhaps a mentor, but be a reader. Actively seek out great content on this topic. And of course, FaithFi is here for that. But what are a couple of books that really shaped your thinking beyond God's Word?
I point to Randy Alcorn, A-L-C-O-R-N, if people don't know who he is. Randy's written so many books on the treasure principle, for example, is one of them. But any of Randy's books on this subject can help anybody wherever they are, starting point or well advanced in the savings, giving, money process.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, beyond God's Word, probably the book that shaped my thinking most significantly in this topic was Money, Possessions, and Eternity from Randy Alcorn, for sure.
I taught a Sunday school on class on that and had a great time.
Oh, I bet. It's a little bit of a thicker read, so you got to commit some time, but it's well worth it. By the way, that's the book we send to every new certified Kingdom advisor when they earn the designation. That's how much we think of that book. Bob, you mentioned before the break that one of the things you and Leslie learned was it wasn't about spending frivolously necessarily or incurring a lot of credit card debt. It was as you were working hard building your career on Wall Street, how much you were stocking away in bigger barns and, you know, the opportunity that you missed to give generously, which you and Leslie are now really thoughtful about. What would you say to 20-year-old Bob about generosity and giving? What counsel would you give to perhaps lean into that early and not miss that?
You know, to get started, to be generous, you know, I love the line, God prospers us not necessarily to increase our standard of living, but our standard of giving. And while we didn't spend more as we earned more, we saved it. We should have wished Bob at 20 years old would have given more away. Talk to people in your business that are older, that may have the same income patterns as you do. What did they do? What did they learn? This is the way to mature faster than your years on this subject.
Yeah. And obviously, there's a tension there, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, it'd be one thing if God's Word said, well, yeah, you're supposed to live on 78.6% of your income and give the rest away. It doesn't, but that requires that we get on our knees and really have this conversation, especially if we're married, between, you know, our spouse and ourselves and the Lord, right?
Well said. And there's seasons of life. You know, a student that is working hard to graduate from college may not have a job. Yeah. And so that there are different standards for that person than when somebody starts working, when someone moves up the ladder a bit. So there are seasons in life. God knows that. He understands that. And just, like you say, get on your knees and you'll help figure it out.
What happens in your heart and in your marriage when you prioritize giving, even in those early days where budgets are tight and we don't have a lot of net worth?
Immediately what comes to mind, Rob, is it is more blessed to give than receive.
Yeah.
I know from some of the things we've done over time that where we did extend ourselves, God blessed big time. Mm. In the heart, you know, the joy that comes from it. Give it a try.
Yeah. Bob, let's talk about investing for those who are students and early in their career. Obviously, you've had a long tenure on Wall Street, managing billions of dollars. We can see you on CNBC and Fox Business. But, you know, for those who are just getting started, what would you say to them about where to begin on their investment journey?
You already said it. Get started. The sooner you start, the better off you're going to be. So what do you start with? You might want to have a financial advisor who can help direct you, maybe part of a family book, if you have parents that are doing that sort of thing, or friends. People often start with very simple, low-cost index funds in order to get the job done. Make sure what you're trying to invest lines up with your long-term goals. Mm-hmm. If you need this money for college next year, you're going to have a different attitude than if you're saving for retirement.
Mm. What would you have them know about the opportunity that frankly didn't exist anywhere near the same way when you and I were just starting out, but the opportunity to align their values with their investments?
Yeah, the opportunity to say, look, I'm going to invest in a way that's consistent with God's Word and consistent with the way I manage the rest of my life. You know, you're not going to take a knife and stab somebody in the back. Why would you invest in companies that make products that kill people. Hmm. So a thoughtful process, as Rob's hinted, the values-based, faith-based side of money management is still small, but it's growing quickly. Get yourself aligned to that, figure that out. And of course, I should have said this to your first question, Rob, taking advantage of employer-sponsored programs, whether it's a retirement program, matching contributions, don't neglect that, quote, free money.
Yeah. And then beyond that, the power of the Roth IRA for that 20-year-old over the next 45 years is incredible, isn't it?
It really is. And not to mention, like we said before, the compounding factor is amazing. You know, some have called compounding the eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah. Bob, what about just rhythms and disciplines? You know, sticking to our financial goals, even when progress is slow, it can seem that the journey is so long, maybe I give up and just enjoy too much of it now. What would you say to our listeners?
You know, you have to have balance like in everything in life. God wants us to enjoy things, so we don't have to be sitting as a monk in the corner, not spending any money. But at the same time, we want to be able to have a bright future. We don't know what the future brings, but we do know if we try to take care of things, including money, according to God's principles, we're probably better off than we would be if we ignored all that. So set some goals, set some milestones, have a celebration when you hit a certain goal.
Yeah.
It's always really good.
Bob, just about 40 seconds left. For those who are just starting out, a new family, a young marriage, what would you say about communication around money, specifically with your spouse? Because we're two different people, aren't we?
We sure are, and there are a lot of studies that show too many divorces come because of disagreement with money.
That's right.
So the key is to communicate with each other, to repeat, get on your knees together on this subject. You know, set some goals. If you have some goals and you're on the same page with that, you can track it pretty carefully.
I love it. Well, Bob, we could talk about this for days, but I really appreciate the nuggets of wisdom you've shared with those listening today who are students early in their careers. Start strong, get into God's word, and heed Bob's counsel today. Thanks for being with us, my friend.
My privilege.
That's Bob Dolly, CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, a leader in faith-based investing and an underwriter of this program. Learn more at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. We'll be right back.
Eight Days of Hope is thankful for ministry partners like Provia, a manufacturer of residential exterior building products. Provia's mission is to serve by caring for details, and each employee strives to do that every day. Provia combines automation and human craftsmanship in creating your doors, windows, siding, stone, and metal roofing. More about Provia's mission and products can be found at provia.com. That's P-R-O-V-I-A.com.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often, yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. We've got lines open. We're ready for you. Anything financial in play, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Our goal, to help you live as a wise and faithful steward, making God your ultimate treasure and bringing faith and financial decisions together for God's glory. How do we do that? Well, we understand the heart of God found in Scripture. We recognize our role as stewards, that is, stewards, not owners of what we have. Everything belongs to God. We're to be found faithful in managing that, realizing that as we work out our financial decisions, it's really one of those key ways that shapes our spiritual journey and how we align our hearts around the things of God, how we demonstrate our trust in Him. And then as we make those daily decisions and as we live and we give and we owe and we grow God's money, we realize there's principles and there's ideas we can find in Scripture to apply to each one of those. And so we want to encourage you in that. We want to give you a theologically sound advice. We also want to be practical in how we support you. Also empathetic, recognizing we all make decisions we wish we would have done differently. And so the idea is, how do we pursue faithfulness in our financial lives as stewards from this point forward? And so whatever you're wrestling with in your financial life today, could be a spending plan decision, it could be getting out of debt, maybe it's giving wisely, perhaps it's saving for the future or investing in this pretty volatile stock market right now. Any of those topics and more. Lines are open. You can call right now. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. In the news today, the question is college still worth it? Well, this latest report from the Federal Reserve finds that it is for most, but not all. A college degree still offers strong economic benefits, but it's no longer a guaranteed payoff for everyone. That comes from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. While technical majors like engineering, math, and computer science yield the highest returns, a quarter of graduates end up in low-paying jobs, making their investment in college less financially worthwhile. Rising tuition costs have made the equation even more complex. College expenses have increased by an average of 5.6% annually since 1983. That outpaces inflation, and families now cover nearly half of those costs out of pocket. Despite efforts to simplify and expand financial aid through the FAFSA, the gap between the cost and aid continues to widen. As a result, more families are relying on student loans, with over 40 million Americans holding a combined $1.6 trillion in student debt. This burden has caused many high school students to reconsider the value of a four-year degree. Enrollment numbers reflect this shift. According to the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center, bachelor's and associate degrees declined for the third year in a row. Instead, students are gravitating toward shorter-term, lower-cost credential programs that promise quicker paths to employment. So I would say in today's changing landscape, the return on a college investment depends heavily on the student's major, the cost of attendance, the graduation timeline, and the career trajectory. As education and employment priorities shift, so too does the traditional path to financial success. So something to be thoughtful about, give consideration to, perhaps A career assessment could be a good opportunity prior to entering college to make sure you're aligning your gifts and talents and wiring with real job opportunities that will offer employment, that especially if you're going to take on debt to get a college degree, which I would try to avoid at all costs, you have a path to reasonably pay it back, I would say, within 10 years. That might be a good rule of thumb for you. So something to think about today. All right, let's dive into your phone calls. Again, lines are open. We're ready for you at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Tennessee to begin today. Hi, Dale. Go ahead.
Hey, Russ. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Thank you for your call, sir.
Good. Hey, we appreciate what you do there, too.
Thank you.
My question is, most of my portfolio is in silver and gold, and just want to leave it there. Any other way to grow it more than what it's growing now?
Yeah, it's a good question, Dale. And obviously, silver and gold has done well. When did you get into this position?
In 17.
Okay, yeah. So, since, let's say, 2016, I'm just looking at the increase in the spot price of gold. I mean, it's up about 10.5% annualized. Obviously, the most recent increases have impacted that. That does outpace inflation and most equity asset classes, most asset classes except equities. Equities would have done, stocks would have done better over that same period. Silver, not quite as good, about 6.5% annualized. It beats inflation and bonds, but certainly lags gold and stocks. Both metals, I think, will serve and have served for you as effective hedges against inflation and geopolitical uncertainty, as you probably were intending back in 2016, 2017. What are your opportunities here? Well, I think, as we look at kind of long-term performance of gold and silver, they just don't do as well as stocks and bonds properly diversified, and they are more volatile. Do I think they have a place in a portfolio? Yes, absolutely. They are a store of value. They're a hedge against geopolitical uncertainty and economic uncertainty, but I wouldn't overweight there. I think, if you have more than, let's say, 10% of your investable assets in gold and silver, I would probably, especially in light of the recent rises, I would probably be looking to diversify away from gold and silver. The downside is there's no income. So unlike stocks or rental properties, gold and silver don't produce dividends or rent, so there's no cash flow. They're more volatile. If it's physical gold, you have the storage costs, and I think you have an opportunity cost because equities or real estate, for that matter, tend to offer higher returns. The S&P 500, for instance, has done 12 to 13% annualized over that same period. So I'd probably diversify away if your allocation is more than 5%, certainly if it's more than 10%. Dale, I hope that helps. Thanks for your call, sir. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by credit card debt? As followers of Christ, we are called to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's why our trusted partner, Christian Credit Counselors, is here to help. Their debt management program can help you pay off your debt 80% faster while honoring your commitments in full. Take the first step toward financial freedom today. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800 877-1985.
Imagine having biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox every week, helping you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. At faithfi.com, you can join a community of over 70,000 people who are already receiving our weekly wisdom email, filled with articles, videos, podcasts, and exclusive offers on resources that will deepen your understanding of biblical stewardship. Start your journey today by creating your FaithFi account at faithfi.com. Just click sign up.
The most important news ever is proclaimed on the new AFR Easter button. He is risen. Wear the button to remind those who see it that Jesus is alive and interceding for us from heaven. Order your AFR Easter buttons at $15 per 10 pack at resources.afa.net or by calling 877-927-4917. Remember, Resurrection Sunday is April 20th. Order your AFR Easter buttons today at 877-927-4917.
Are you a financial professional looking to grow your practice while offering advice that aligns with your Christian values? By becoming a certified Kingdom Advisor, you'll gain the biblical wisdom and professional credibility to serve clients who are seeking faith-based financial guidance. Each year, more than 75,000 people search for a certified Kingdom Advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Start your journey today by going to kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Sandy Dickinson, ready to get your call right now, 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones. Maryland's where we're headed next. Marshall, how can I help you, sir?
Good. I guess it's still good morning here.
Yes, sir.
The question I have, I attend a church. They're not supporting missions. It's non-denominational, and they do support a school backpack program. But it's, I called leadership the other day, and they said, no, we're just not supporting any missions. So all the money's coming in. It's like we're being a savings. You know, just sort of, it looks like they're just hoarding money. And I'm not throwing anybody under the bus.
Yeah.
I'm having a real struggle with that because I want to give more, and I do. I'm not tithing there because I'm giving money elsewhere, supporting a mission in Haiti. And what do I do? I mean, I just need really wisdom for that because my wife and I are really struggling with it.
Yeah.
The fact that they're not focusing on mission work and not reaching out.
Yes. Well, clearly both are on the heart of God. And so I don't think it's wrong, in my view, to divide your giving between your local church and other ministries or causes you're passionate about. Scripture clearly calls us to support those who labor in teaching and preaching within the church. The local church is God's plan A. So I think that should be the priority. We should give to our local churches first. You know, Paul writes about this in Galatians 6:6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. And similarly, we see that in 1 Timothy 5. You know, that's discussed as well. So I think supporting your church financially honors that biblical mandate and helps to sustain the spiritual shepherds who guide our community. And so I think that's a key idea. At the same time, I think the Bible also celebrates generosity that extends beyond the walls of the church, especially when it meets the physical needs and advances the gospel globally. So I think, you know, we see this modeled by the early church in Acts 11. You remember it says the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And then Paul praised the Philippians for their sacrificial giving to support his missionary work as well. So I think giving to your church as a first step and giving to gospel-centered organizations that serve the poor and share Christ and pursue justice can be a great expression of whole life stewardship. You know, as long as your giving is done prayerfully and generously and with a heart of worship, I think, you know, we know that God loves a cheerful giver and delights in seeing his people participate in kingdom work in every corner of the world. So I think it's good that you reached out to leadership. I think in addition to just asking the question, perhaps that second conversation in love is just, listen, I think, you know, I understand you all are trying to balance the needs of the church and being careful stewards of what comes in. Let me just say, from my perspective, you know, I would love for us to be able to lean into missions as a part of that, whether that's supporting those going on mission short or full time with it from within your church. So being a sending church, or maybe that's a portion going to, you know, just support other missionaries, not necessarily connected to your church. I think it's, we have to be careful, though, when it comes to, you know, our giving being done with open hands and hearts, trusting that church leaders are seeking God's guidance and how to use the resources for his purposes. You know, I think faithful giving, there's an element that reflects trust in God's sovereignty and just an overall desire to support his work, even if we don't fully agree with every decision made by church leadership. So I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth. I think kind of in summary, I would say the local church should be your starting point. I would, you know, trust God and give, trusting that leaders are seeking guidance. I would engage in a thoughtful and a winsome and a loving way with church leaders to express your desire that they take a portion of what comes into the church and use it for the purposes of advancing the gospel beyond your community. And then finally, I would say, you know, if that means a part of your giving goes to outside organizations that are on the heart of God, I think that's a good thing. Is that helpful, though?
It's extremely helpful. I don't know how you come up. I listen to you all the time. It's, I mean, it's, I can't get over how all this wisdom and I know the Holy Spirit's given it and a lot of training and learning. Anyway, it helps me a lot. Thank you for your time. God bless you.
Well, you're welcome. And let me say, I have an amazing team here. So our team of writers and researchers, and, you know, we've written extensively on this topic, and Taylor Stanrich and Jim Henry and our team here write on this stuff all the time. So it's not just me, but I appreciate your kind remarks. And I hope that gives you some things for you and your wife to think and pray about. God bless you, Marshall. Thanks for being on the program. Let's go to Oklahoma. Paula, how can I help?
Rob, I just wanted to know, I'm single, 63, no children, and what is the amount that we should, like, save for? I'm frugal, and I'm not in debt. I do have a car payment, but that'll be paid off in a couple of years, and I just like to give. I'm a very cheerful giver, and I have a pension, several of them, and I bring in about $7,000 a month. So what kind of a nest egg would I need, you know, but still I don't want to hoard anything. I don't want to hoard it.
Yeah. Well, there are rules of thumb, Paula, for how much to save. I mean, one of the most widely known, and this is going to scare some people, so just take this with a grain of salt. But, you know, it's this idea that we need 25 times our annual expenses to retire comfortably. And that just simply means, you know, that's going to give you enough that you could pull 4% a year to fund your expenses and never run out of money. Now, if we say, Rob, I'm not anywhere close to that. I get it. Most people aren't. And so part of that is made up by Social Security. Part of that might be, you know, we just can't get there. And I get that. Part of that might be the annual expenses we have during our working years are higher than what they're going to be in retirement. Most people live on 70 to 80%. But at a high level, that's kind of the rule of thumb. If you want to have, you know, the full amount of what's needed, you take that income, multiply it by 25, that would give you what you need to fund it for the rest of your life, no matter how long the Lord has you here, and you would never deplete it. You should just be able to live off the income. Now, let's get into your specific situation, because at the end of the day, at 62, you're pretty close to that season of life. And I think we can start looking at just your actual lifestyle spending and say, what is going to be needed to fund that? So how much are you spending, Paula, on a monthly basis right now? Not your income, your expenses.
Not even more than $2,500 a month.
Okay, not, great.
Maybe $2,000.
Yeah, so you're, let's call it $2,500. You're living modestly. And are you already retired, or are you anticipating retirement?
Yes. No, I'm retired.
Okay.
Disability. So I'm, and I bring in, like I say, about $7,000 a month.
Okay.
And I don't pay for insurance or anything. So.
Okay. Wow.
Medical,
yeah,
I mean. Yeah.
So you're set in the sense that, you know, assuming your expenses stay here. Now, what is the biggest risk in this season of life? It's probably your need for long-term care. And I don't know whether you have that covered as well. But if you needed full nursing care, that could run $10,000 a month. But apart from that, I mean, you're bringing in you have a guaranteed income every month of $7,000. You're only spending $2,500. So you've got $4,500 to $5,000 a month at surplus, which means you should have a healthy savings account and plenty to give away, which is a great thing. So I feel like you're in good shape apart from solving for the long-term care need, which may or may not already be covered. So let's do this. We'll pick up on that right after the break and talk about that. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to dig a little deeper into the verse we started with, Matthew 6:24 and a few others. We cannot serve God and money. That generosity is a key piece of this as well, isn't it? I think about what Ron Blue, the author, says often, and that is that giving actually loosens the grip that money can have over our lives.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants, this is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Today, put your heart into something that makes an eternal impact. Heart for Lebanon is sharing the gospel and protecting girls from early marriage, child labor, and violence. Your gift of $114 helps reach 3 at-risk girls with hope and a brighter future. Give generously. Text FAITH to 98656. That's FAITH to 98656. Or visit faithfi.com/Lebanon.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got here in our final segment room for a few more calls. If you have a question today in your financial life, call right now, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Paula in Oklahoma. She's 62. She's fully retired, earning a disability. She's got $7,000 a month coming in as a pension for life. She's only spending $2,000 to $2,500, and she's just wondering how much does she need to save for retirement because she wants to be able to give more to ministries. And I love that you want to continue to be more and more generous. And Paula, I think that's the right question, you know, for all of us to ask and answer, which is how much is enough? What is our financial finish line? And there's both a lifestyle element to that, how much spending on a monthly basis, and an accumulation side to that. You've already, it sounds like, answered that question, how much is enough for your lifestyle spending? You're living modestly on $2,000 to $2,500 a month. So what you're getting at is, what is the accumulation finish line such that you know once you reach it, maybe you're already there, we'll talk about that, that you could even further accelerate your giving, which I just love that idea, and I think that really is the way we should be thinking. How much do you have, other than your income, how much do you have saved, Paula?
I have CDs of about $90,000, and then I have another about $45,000 in a Fidelity,
okay,
a Roth, and just an IRA.
Okay, got it. And what about just liquid savings?
To about $5,000, just liquid.
Okay. So what are you currently doing with that extra $4,500 to $5,000 a month?
Well, I give a lot to missionaries. Okay. I give a whole lot away. I already give a lot away.
Okay, good. Yeah, so I love that. And I think, you know, ultimately you need to continue to seek God's heart for how much you give. And I would never tell you to reduce your giving by any means. I love that you're a generous giver. And I think, we talked to Paul David Tripp, the author, about this the other day, and he made the point, and I would agree, the primary purpose for what God entrusts to us is so that we can be generous. I think we see that in Scripture, and to provide and enjoy, but I think giving should even be, top of the list. Now, what I would say is, from a purely financial standpoint, I'd love for you to have, you know, a little bit of cushion there in terms of liquid savings beyond $5,000. I mean, I think ideally in your season of life, you'd probably want 6 to 12 months worth of expenses liquid. Now, for you, even at $2,500 a month, that's only $30,000, and you've got $90,000 in CDs. So perhaps as some of those mature, maybe you take, you know, up to $30,000 and you put it in a high yield savings, so you've got it if you need it. Now, the only other thing that potentially you could have a need for down the road would be long-term care. I mean, if you needed nursing care, would you use a Medicaid facility, or would you just try to pay for it out of current cash flow? What are your thoughts there?
I would probably use a Medicaid or a VA facility.
Yeah. Okay, great. So, I mean, I think that's the only consideration. Apart from that, once you've got your emergency fund in place, your expenses are covered, you're living modestly well below your means, I mean, I think you've already essentially reached your finish line, which gives you the freedom and flexibility to follow the Lord's leading in continuing your giving.
Perfect. Thank you.
You are so welcome, my dear, and we appreciate your call today. Hey, stay on the line. I want to send you a gift. I want to send you the latest issue of our Faithful Steward magazine. I think it'll be some enjoyable reading for you, as you are such a wonderful picture of a faithful steward. So stay on the line, Paula. We'll get that right out to you. Thanks for calling today. Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Tom. How can I help?
Morning. This is Tom Miner. I'm calling about cryptocurrency, and I'm interested in your perspective on whether, as practicing Christians, cryptocurrency is something that we should be involved in or not.
Yeah, and are you talking about just from the standpoint of whether we should be using it, holding it, using it as a form of currency, or are you talking about as an investment, or both, Tom?
Well, both. I mean, trading, just all aspects of cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
because
good.
There is a lot of talk out there that it could supplant the dollar as the world reserve currency. And I think if that happens, that's many, many years down the road. But I'm also worried about the concept of a global currency also.
Yes. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, so I would not put it in that category, whereas believers, we need to stay away from it. Because, you know, of what we read in Revelation and so forth, because of the end times. I also would agree with you. I don't think we're close to it replacing the dollar. You know, what's often talked about is a CBDC, a central bank digital currency, which is different than the way we think about cryptocurrency today. I am very much against a central bank digital currency replacing the U.S. dollar, where everything is digital. It all flows through the treasury, and therefore there's far more, you know, government visibility and oversight and potential for social controls around the spending of Americans that I think is way beyond anything we should ever have. And so that's a bad thing. The president has been very outspoken. He will never support that. There's many in Congress, which it would take a congressional act for it to happen, many in Congress that are very opposed to it. And even some states have gotten out ahead of it. For instance, state of Florida, Governor DeSantis, they've passed legislation that says that CBDCs don't comply with their uniform commercial code, just trying to get ahead of it as a state. So I don't think that's an issue that is on the radar right now. But crypto, I'm, you know, okay with in terms of it being a means of exchange. I would not touch it as an investment. But let's back up and talk about what it is. So, you know, back in in 2008, there was an anonymous white paper that was released outlining a new digital currency, Bitcoin. And the vision was a peer-to-peer currency outside of any government control. Somewhat amazingly, the whole white paper was only 9 pages. You can go read it. But it captured the imagination of millions of people because not only was it decentralized and outside of government control, but it checks all the boxes of functional money. And importantly, in direct contrast to the inflationary monetary policies we've been seeing around the world in the previous, you know, decades, it was designed from the beginning to be sound money because you can't devalue it by printing more. There's a fixed cap of 21 million bitcoins that can ever be produced. And so it has a lot of the same sound money appeals that have attracted people to gold. And that's why people often call it digital gold. And so, you know, there's been a huge, you know, amount of interest in it. But as we talk about cryptocurrencies, because there are many of them now, as you probably well know, even though Bitcoin's the biggest, you know, it gets pretty technical. But I think the first thing to understand is that they run on something called blockchain, which is this record of transactions updated and maintained by a decentralized network of computers. And it has application for a whole host of industries. You know, in terms of healthcare and big tech companies and, you know, currency as well. And, you know, I think we're seeing clearly a breakdown of trust in centralized institutions. And I think, you know, that's why so many people are interested in it. And I think that just the size and scope of the Federal Reserve and what they've done with monetary policy has been a big part of the interest in cryptocurrency. So I don't think that's going anywhere, and I think that's okay, because I think there's a place for it in terms of being able to solve for things in a decentralized way that need security and, you know, and transparency. But what I would do is stay away from it from an investment standpoint, because it's just highly volatile. I mean, it really is more of a speculation than an investment, in my view. There'd be plenty of people that own it, made a lot of money, and are big supporters of it, and that's okay. I just think you need to put it in the most speculative category of your investments, which for most people doesn't have a place at all. And for some people who have a bit more in the way of a larger portfolio and more experience, you know, that most speculative category, I would say, is maybe 10% of your portfolio if you are at that level, but probably not more than that. And I think there's just a lot of risk there. We've seen a lot of the crypto exchanges fail. There's still questions about the regulatory environment, although the Trump administration has been very supportive, which clears some of that up. But longer term, I think there's still some questions. So bottom line is it something as believers we just need to stay far from? I don't think so. Is it here to stay, and does it have real value across a wide range of industries just in terms of blockchain? Yes. Is it something to invest in? I would say no.
All right. Well, okay. The last thing I want to do is get crossways with the Book of Revelation. So
yes.
You've been very helpful.
Well, I'm glad. And I'm not necessarily the authority on that, but that's just at least my 2 cents. You read God's word, pray about it, make your own determination there. But I don't think that's what, at least the way I read scripture, that's not what I'm seeing with cryptocurrency as it exists today. Thank you for your call, Tom. I appreciate your desire to be found faithful to the Lord and in all areas, but including this area of money management. Marcia, there in Michigan, I apologize we didn't get to your question. I'd love to get you on next week's broadcast. Let's see if Sandy can get you scheduled for that. Well, folks, thanks for being along with us today. Boy, what a treat it is to be able to connect with so many AFR listeners. You all are amazing. And be able to encourage you, to be able to point you back to God's word, and be able to journey with you in all of your financial endeavors. Hey, let me make an ask of you. If you would consider becoming a FaithFi partner, we'd certainly be grateful. These are the men and women that really are in the boat with us here at Faith and Finance. They listen to the program regularly. They find value in what we offer here on the airwaves, and they want to be a part of this message reaching more people. Faith5 partners support us at $35 a month or more. And as a thank you, we send every new study or devotional. And we've got one, a brand new one coming out next month, Wisdom Over Wealth on Ecclesiastes, and 4 issues of Faithful Steward, our magazine. If you want to become a partner, just go to faithfi.com and click give. Big thanks to my team today, Taylor, Sandy, Devin, and everyone here at Faithfi. Happy Good Friday tomorrow. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.